Amanda Marcotte is a political columnist for Salon, who this week wrote a scathing piece about Bernie Sanders, in which she says that he has to drop the notion that everyone who disagrees with him is corrupt or a dupe. I love Amanda's writing, and I always enjoy talking to her, so I've invited her to come on here and expand on that and the other things that are going on in the presidential campaign this week. Amanda, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. What's Bernie doing that annoys you so much?
You know, I mean, I want to be clear that I realize that at the last stages of a campaign, tensions get really high and people can kind of let their emotions get the better of him. But I feel like Sanders has been taking it way too far. He's been encouraging his supporters to believe that the only reason he's losing is because the DNC is somehow against him, that everybody's against him, that the system is rigged, and that the only way he could be losing this through corruption or because everybody who opposes him is some kind of corporate stooge. And I think that that's ridiculous. You know, the fact of the matter is you look at the numbers, you look at the fact that Clinton has 3 million more votes than he does, and the only thing you can truly conclude if you're being honest with yourself is she simply made a better pitch to the voters.
If you had asked anybody 6 months ago whether Bernie Sanders would still even be in the race come the end of May and the California primary, which is coming up 2 weeks from now on June 7th, everybody would have said, no, he'll be gone long before then. Why is he still around?
I mean, he was still around for a long time because he was actually competitive. I mean, it did seem for a few months there that he could, if he started winning bigger shares of certain states, pull ahead of her. But in the past month, it's become numerically impossible for him to win. So at this point, why is he staying in? I really don't know. I mean, I think a part of it is his ego. Certainly his campaign's explanations for why he's staying in don't really fly. They say that they're trying to get concessions out of the DNC. They want to change the party platform. They want to make it about how the primary system is supposedly needs to change, all these sorts of things. And it's like, these things sound like they're grasping to me.
You mentioned the platform. I got to ask you this just straight out. Who cares about the platform?
Exactly. I mean, it's such a symbolic gesture. It sort of undermines his claim that he's a substantive guy looking for substantive change.
Yeah, you know, the platform is essentially going to be whatever the candidate of the party says it's going to be, and any behind-the-scenes committee meetings to discuss what that should be have no impact on anything or affect a single vote later on, do they?
No, I mean, you look at the party platform. I mean, he wants the party platform to say that they want single-payer health care, right,
mm-hmm.
for instance. And I think that, you know, the Democrats could put that in there. It's not going to make it any likelier to happen. And all that sort of thing can do is sort of make them look like hypocrites if they just sort of continue to improve Obamacare, which is the current plan.
Do you think that the way Sanders has been acting is affecting his image?
Yes. I think he's starting to seem a little like Ted Cruz did in the last days of Cruz's campaign, which is desperate, grasping, unwilling to admit the inevitable. That was made even more certain this morning when Sanders agreed on Twitter to have a debate with Donald Trump.
Yeah. He was asked, Jimmy Kimmel was on with Donald Trump last night. Trump was his guest, and he said, you know, we have a question here from somebody named Bernie who wants to know if you will debate him before the California primary. And Trump said, yeah, I would do that. And then Bernie tweeted, game on. What's the purpose of that?
I'm hoping that the Sanders campaign is just calling Trump's bluff. That's my initial impression, is that they expect that Trump will find some excuse to back out because he's done it before. He's a coward, like most bullies, right? Like, if that's what they're doing, then it's kind of funny. But the fact that they actually challenged Trump in the first place suggests to me that it's attention-seeking, that it's an attempt to grab the headlines as long as they can, you know, before the inevitable Clinton win comes. And, you know, it does somewhat serve to undermine the win that is coming for Clinton.
Yep. But it would be great TV.
Yeah. Yeah, and at that point, see, that's why he looks desperate and grasping and like it's about his ego, because, you know, all this would serve is to just get more attention. It doesn't serve any other purpose but to get more attention to Bernie Sanders. And I've been racking my brains trying to think of some other purpose that it could serve, and I just can't for the life of me think of any other purpose.
What about the Bernie or bust Bernie Sanders supporters, the ones who say, look, he's our guy, she's not our woman, referring to Hillary?
You know, I honestly think that while a lot of people are identifying as that now, that's going to change. I think most of them will come over to Clinton. It's worth remembering that in 2008, a lot of Clinton supporters said exactly the same thing about Obama. And in the end, most of them did vote for Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too worried about them. I am worried that this kind of rhetoric could undermine her image in the long, like her. I'm worried less about people who say that and more about how the continuous attacks on Hillary Clinton are going to hurt her campaign in the long run.
Well, her campaign took another shot yesterday when the report came out from the Inspector General of the State Department about her private email server that she used as Secretary of State. The report took her to task because, among other things, she didn't ask permission to use her own server, and if she had, she would have been told she shouldn't do that. The Clinton campaign has said, you know, point by point, there's nothing new here. These are the same things that we have been saying, and the past secretaries of state have also used their personal email accounts to conduct business. Does this affect a single vote, Amanda?
No. And, you know, even conservative pundits and activists have admitted that short of some kind of prosecution or charges being filed on her, it's just going to sound like so much gibberish and noise to the voters. You know, you need a smoking gun. You need the only two things that would actually create a problem was if she got prosecuted or there was something in the emails that you could point to that was dangerous, that she exposed some kind of government secret or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is this investigation's been going on for months. There's been no smoking gun. And the fact that this report came out and admitted that other secretaries had done it before, I think forecloses any possibility of indictment or prosecution. So I think that this is it. I think this is the last we're going to hear about this stupid email.
Well, I think we're going to hear a little bit more in a couple of weeks when the FBI's report comes out on this, but I don't expect it to have a smoking gun in it either.
Yeah, I just feel like if there was something, we would have heard about it by now. Maybe
yeah.
I'm wrong, but at this point, it just feels like these reports are them kind of finishing a lengthy investigation, and that's going to be that.
But when it comes to how this affects anybody's vote going forward, as I said, I don't think it's going to, because people who like Hillary and were going to support her anyway disclaim everything that's in here. People who hate Hillary are going to believe the worst about her earlier. But that does leave that group of people who are supposedly in the middle on this, what we're told is the vast number of independents who are the ones who are going to decide the next president of the United States. A, does such a group exist? And B, which way do you think they're leaning?
No, there is no such thing as a vast group of independent voters. There are, like, most polling data shows that there are a lot of people who call themselves independent, but if you actually look at who they vote for, they are either Democrats or Republicans, and they do not change who they are. So we're not going to lose any votes, independent votes, for, like, Clinton's not going to lose any independent votes because such people don't exist. The swing voter is a myth. You know, the real question when you're talking about campaigning is not convincing people to vote for you. It's convincing people to vote at all. It's about turning people that were non-voters into voters. That's how Democrats win.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the independents, the swing voters, all that's a myth. The only question left is whether or not Clinton can get out the vote.
You know, while we're talking about independents, just to go back to Bernie Sanders, who we started talking about here, part of his claim for his popularity is that he appeals to independents, people who are not tied up with the Democrat or Republican parties. But the fact that he hasn't succeeded kind of disproves that notion, doesn't it?
It does on a couple of levels. It is true that when you look at the polling data, a lot of the people that voted for him claim to be independent. But when you actually look at their voting behavior, they are Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So what he got was people that are Democrats, but because they think they're special snowflakes, they don't want to identify as such.
Yeah.
But they are Democrats. They will vote for Clinton. They voted for Obama. They voted for Kerry before that. There is no reason to worry about that.
All right. The last Sanders question I have for you, Amanda, is about the notion of a democratic socialist even getting this far. I mean, let's face it, while Bernie Sanders was an important voice to people on the way on the left and has been in Congress for a long, long time, both in the House and in the Senate, he was not really an extremely effective senator in getting laws passed, and he did separate himself from either of the political parties, declaring himself an independent and a democratic socialist. Could we at least be amazed that he's gotten this far?
You know what? I was sort of hoping that a couple months ago, because it would be neat to see somebody who was actually arguing hard from the left have that much attention and support. But unfortunately, when I look over the polling data, I'm just not seeing it. I'm seeing a lot of people voted for him, not because they really understood him or his message, but because they just liked to vote for him. There's something about him that's appealing, or maybe they don't like Clinton, or maybe there's just not a lot of reason to think that his voters are significantly to the left of Clinton's voters. In fact, on the contrary, there is some data that shows that Clinton supporters are more likely to support a robust social safety network and a higher minimum wage. So whatever people were voting for Sanders for, it had nothing. It was very rarely because they wanted a socialist over a liberal.
That being said, do you think that he has affected her as she's run for president, pulled her to the left during the primaries?
Maybe a little. It's hard to say, though, because before he even announced, it was clear that she was going to run a far more liberal-facing campaign than she did in 2008. And, you know, the reason is that while her platform was a little bit to the left of Obama's in 2008, he was perceived by the general public as more liberal than her, and therefore he won. And so she was running a campaign this time that was, it's basically modeled on Obama's 2008 campaign. I don't necessarily see that she's changed any of that. Like the positions she's taken that people say are indications that Sanders pushed her to the left are positions she's held for a long time, such as on being able to buy into Medicare and things like that.
All right, Amanda, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And as I mentioned up top, I enjoy what you've been writing in Salon for a very long time. And I appreciate you taking the time to join me here today.
Thank you.
Amanda Marcotte is a political writer for Salon.com. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.